Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be looking tonight at Ephesians chapter 6 about the matter of children obeying parents. And I know this is an exciting topic, right? All the parents get excited because they're kids. Hey, kids, remember that verse you learned? But it's also important for us as parents, and I've already mentioned this. Parents need to have as much an understanding of Ephesians 6 as do children, if not more so, because they're the ones who need to understand that God has a plan for children in obedience and that God has given empowerment for children. We saw last time the value of obedience, the partnership that parents are both to be involved, the enabling for obedience in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The overarching theme of these areas of our life and interaction with others is to be guided by the Holy Spirit of God. Can children obey? Well, yeah, children can obey. But can children obey in a supernaturally empowered way? Yes. And how much different is it? Can a husband love his wife? Well, yeah. But can he love his wife like Christ loves the church? Well, only if he has enabling that comes from God, the Holy Spirit. And chapter 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The enabling of and controlling factor of the Spirit of God is the one that we should even encourage our kids in understanding what it is to be yielded to the Spirit of God and not their flesh. Will spiritual growth be encouraged if I tell a kid, you just need to do this, just do this, but I don't remind them that God's given them the empowerment to do something? I think it's a vital thing for us to encourage our kids that God has provided the enabling, and that is in the Holy Spirit. And I am, as I said last time, hungry for kids to see God at work in their lives. God supernaturally helping and encouraging and enabling them to do what God wants. And parents, guess what? We ought to be the examples of that. If my kids see mom and dad relying upon the Spirit, will that encourage them in obedience dependent upon the Spirit? I believe it will. And I think you all as a church are a grand example as you walk in the Spirit to helping young people say, that's the way that I want to operate. That's a great blessing of us as a church family when we operate in control by the Spirit. We are advocating, we are exalting a way to walk to our kids. And I thank the Lord for your example, church. You know that I see spiritual decisions in you, spirit control in this body called New Life Baptist Church. I see it all the time. And my kids see it. And the kids in our church see it. And the more of that, it's quiet in here. Did you know that you are acting in spiritual ways? And that people see it? Did you know that that's observed by your pastor, by the way? Maybe I don't say it enough. I am encouraged greatly by the way that you are growing in grace, church. I am. I have been encouraged to watch maturity and spirit dependence growing in this body. And when you're operating that way, when I'm operating that way, our kids, the young people of our church, they will see that's the way to be doing things. Not, oh, I got to do this to make someone happy. Can parents, can we do that sometimes? Just operate to make someone happy with us? Sure, we can do that, but that's not spirit controlled. And as we're going to see tonight, the motivation for obedience is taught in this passage, and it's a marvelous one. It is an encouraging motivation. And it is not, well, because mom and dad said I had to. It's bigger than that. And for you and I, in any of these other areas, husbands loving your wife or wife submitting to your husband, it's not because husband says it or wife says it. It's because there's someone greater that is our motivation and our focus. So look with me in chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now tonight, we've already looked at the value of obedience, the partnership of obedience, the enabling of obedience. And tonight I want to go into verse number 1, the statement, for this is right. In the Lord, for this is right. The number 4, the motivation of obedience. So we've seen the value, the partnership, the enabling, looking back at chapter 5, verse 18. And now, looking at chapter 6 and verse number 1, the motivation for obedience. What is it that is to motivate kids to obey? Ultimately, what is to motivate kids to obey? Children to honor their parents. What is the motivation? Well, notice in verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, those are statements that are very, very significant. And I know we point that out perhaps to our children. Well, what would the Lord want? Look over with me at Colossians. You're in Ephesians. Go past to the right, Philippians, and then to Colossians. Colossians is just 2 books over to the right, Colossians 3 and verse 20. Colossians 3 and verse 20. And we're told something here that I think helps amplify this matter of in the Lord, for this is right, helps us understand it. And it's a consistent theme in both Ephesians and Colossians related to our relationships with others, how we're to see the motivation for this. In Colossians 3, verse 20, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto who? Unto the Lord. It's well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want you to look backwards and see each of the times in each of the different roles that a statement is made. In chapter 5, look at verse number 22. Chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, in verse number 25, are to love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The pattern for our roles is always with the Lord in view. The pattern or the motivation is having the Lord in view. This is well-pleasing to him. This is as unto the Lord. Verse 21 really establishes that for all of our relationships. Verse 21 of chapter 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So I'm looking past that particular authority to something ultimately above that. We see that as it relates to parenting in chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ultimately, I'm looking past the one-to-one relationship, and I'm seeing God's involvement in that as it relates to masters and servants as well in chapter 6. Now, what's the significance of that pattern? It is that God's desire is for us all to look beyond or look up the chain of command, as it were. If all you see is the person saying, do something, or the right relationship in some relationship, the right way to interact is just my person-to-person thing, you will miss the right motivation. The motivation is God's opinion. Now, I know that's not a shock to you, but that statement in the Lord needs to be the way that I live out my life, whether I'm a child, whether I'm an adult, at any level of life. But will it help a child to establish that if parents, we remind them that you are not just looking to us, we're communicating this so that you'll rightly understand the Lord. It's important for us to point our children to the reasoning for our demanding of their obedience. As they grow, do they need to understand that they are listening to one who's giving direction because God wants them to listen well in life, in interaction with others? Their view needs to go past the parent to the Lord. In the Lord is a focus that has God's authority as a motivation. What is motivating this? Now, some folks take that phrase, in the Lord, and use it and believe it's a limitation. That when Paul is speaking here, he's saying to children, you only need to obey your parents if they are in the Lord, or if what they teach you is what God says. I don't believe that's what Paul is saying in this verse. But I do believe there's something to be said about children not obeying something that is wrong, okay? Children are not being commanded in this verse to listen and obey a parent that is doing evil. But that isn't what the phrase in the Lord means. It means that the authority of their life needs to be looking past that person to the Lord. And I bring up the matter of the limitation because sometimes there are adults, there are authorities who use authority incorrectly. And I just want to take a moment tonight for the sake of our children and those who work with children and everyone else in here to address that, because I believe it needs to be addressed in the culture we live in. It needs to be said, and your thinking needs to be right about this. And if any parent, and children, I'm speaking to you, if any parent, grandparent, teacher, relative, authority ever asked you to do something that you believe may be wrong and says to you, don't tell anyone about this. Don't tell them. And they use their authority to try to hide something you believe is wrong. You don't need to keep that hidden. You need to speak to another authority. You really do. It's not something that in our culture today is, I think, to be tolerated or to be allowed. And I think children need to have someone that's encouraging them to correctly think about these matters. Adults, you know this, and children need to know there are people who do wrong. There are people who abuse or molest or harm children, and there is a need for us to protect them, isn't there? And I will tell you, parents and adults, if you know of something or a child says something, you have a responsibility to let someone know that. Because we want to help children do right. Their motivation to continue to obey authority is really impacted, isn't it? If they're having someone encourage them to do wrong. And so there ought never be a conflict in the heart of a child about, am I supposed to obey or am I not? If a child is ever in that conflict, can I just encourage you, child? You can find that out from an authority if that's a problem so that you can move forward. I will tell you, sadly, that's not always taking the place. And I don't want that to ever be a hindrance. You know that that's a big deal in the Word of God, that we not be a hindrance to young people. Look over in Matthew chapter 18. In fact, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, words are shared in the Word of God by Christ regarding the matter of not causing harm to children. Are we to value children? Let's try that again for all the sake of our children. Are we to value children? Absolutely. And if we cause harm or hindrance to a child in any form or fashion, is that something that we should be seriously minded about? Absolutely it is. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 5, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." By the way, is that a pretty strong kind of language? Absolutely, it's strong. But do you not see in that strength of language how much the care of God is for children? I love that, because there ought be nothing that hinders a child from faith in God, believing what the Word of God says, believing what God has said. And nothing will do more harm to that, and I believe our culture is filled with an immense number of people who have been hurt by this. You or someone you know may have been hurt by someone who has done wrong in authority. And it's sad to say that that is so common in our country, but it needs to be addressed. And I think the great answer to it is for us to say, I see God cares about children so much so that I would not tolerate anything that would cause harm for them. And as children, to know that in obedience, if there is something that brings question to what you believe and they use the statement, well, I'm an authority from God, so you better do what I say and not tell anyone, that is suspicious, and you need to know that, okay? I hope that's a help and encouragement, and to the rest of us to be a help in that regard as well. Causing offense to the faith of a child or tripping them up in any way by selfish, sinful desires or pursuits is something to be avoided, and it's, I think, something for us to take warning of. In fact, I'll just say this. If there is selfish sin in the heart of someone, you ought to recognize that that can cause harm down the road that you didn't plan for. And the best thing you'll do is take care of that personally so that you never cause harm to a little one. I know that's hard to say, but it's a very important thing to say. And you must take note of it, Christian. This is hard stuff. But to say that this is a passage that excludes bad authority, I don't believe is the case. I think chapter 6, verse 4 is actually the part that could actually answer that question better. Chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." You know what will provoke a child to anger and wrath more readily than anything else? It is for that person in authority to espouse that they are an authority and yet doing evil. To say, do this, but yet to be doing something that's exactly against what God would say. That encourages and invokes anger in the heart of children. Now, we'll look more at verse 4 next time. But I really believe that when we look at verse number 1 of chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, this is a positive motivation. In the Lord, for this is right. Why would we do anything less than tell our kids a good way to operate is to obey because God is pleased with it? Colossians chapter 3. Encourage your children with the matter of obedience, knowing that when they obey, they are doing right by the Lord. Isn't that an encouragement for our kids to know? And it's a basic one. And grandparents, you get to instill this in your children. Isn't that an encouraging thing that grandparents and you adults in here, it is encouraging to help our children remember God's opinion about this obedience is far superior. Which is another admonition to parents. If children ought be motivated out of God's opinion, then we're the ones to help let them know that that matters. We're the ones to encourage them that God's opinion matters in life, in totality, in our responsibilities and in theirs. And so giving children a right view of this is a wonderful opportunity. Let's encourage children and encourage kids to see the Lord as the ultimate motivation for obedience, pleasing Him with our actions. Here's number 5, or number 2 for tonight. The motivation for obedience in the Lord, for this is right. Know the promise, number 5, of obedience. Know the promise. There is a great promise given in verse number 2 and in verse 3. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 2 says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now, a lot of questions come up with this sometimes. Wait a minute, is this the first commandment with a promise? If you read in Exodus chapter 20, there are 4 commandments before this. This is the 5th commandment. So are there commandments before? Yeah. Is there a promise connected with some of those? There actually is. Now, it's a general one, and verse number 5, or verse number 2 and 3 here, the 5th commandment, honor thy father and mother, is the first positive promise that's given in that Decalogue, the 10 commandments. The 2nd commandment is not make unto thee any graven image. And there's a general negative promise that God will judge those that hate Him in that passage. But with the 5th commandment is the first command with a specific, and I would call it positive promise attached to it. I would point out too, in the first 4 commandments, and many of you would already know this, who are the first 4 commandments related to? My relationship with who? To God. What's the first of the commandments that relates to my interaction with other people? The 5th one, honor thy father and mother. And what is, in our context in Ephesians, the focus upon? In Ephesians 5 and in Ephesians 6, at the beginning of these, is our interaction with God the focus, or is our interaction with each other? And I believe Paul is pointing out this is the first promise as it relates to our interaction with each other, or the first commandment that has a promise as it relates to each other, as I relate to those in human authority. And it's a very basic thing to understand that God blesses this matter of obedience. I would also point out, is prosperity and long life promised to everyone who obeys? And that's an important one to ask, because could someone be obedient to their parents and not have physical prosperity? They might suffer an illness. Does that mean that they didn't obey their parents? No, but it's important to answer that. So I bring it up for you. Could someone obey their parents well, but not live long? Could their life be short? Yes, that could absolutely happen. But I want you to catch the overarching view here that God has about obedience. If you don't honor your parents, expect that it will not go well with you. Expect that with disobedience will come the shortening of life and the less enjoying of that life. Now, have you ever met somebody who lived in a self-destructive way? Yeah, I've met many people in a self-destructive way who, in their self-destruction, got there by not listening to people giving them direction. Don't go this way. Don't go this way. Don't do this thing. And they would not obey. And as a result, what took place was the destruction of their life. Now, that's just, you can observe that. If a child does not learn, and I think this is the part on us parents as well. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 is not just about, hey kids, make sure you do. No, we as parents, if we don't instill personal discipline into the mindset of our children, will that have an impact on their future? Absolutely. If they don't learn how to say no to themselves, will that have ramifications in their life? Well, yeah, obviously. Will they do well financially if they don't learn how to say no to themselves? No, they're not. Now, kids, let me encourage you. God's promise here is one that as you will take obedience seriously, there is to be known, God will bless that. When we were in the islands, my parents were missionaries in a couple of islands in the Pacific, Majuro in the Marshall Islands. We were there for about a year, helping relieve a missionary when they were back on furlough. And in Majuro, it was a very third world type country. The island was only 30 miles long, and at the widest point, it was only a mile wide. Yeah, and there were like 30-some thousand people on this little strip of land, and most of them were all in about a five-mile strip. And so there were people around us every day. Okay, I grew up in the country away from everybody. This was a culture shock for sure. But one of the things that I observed was how little the children were given any attention all day long, the little ones especially. You know, the ones at school, but the ones who were like 3 years old to five or six, they ran like Indians everywhere. I mean, they were just wild, okay? It was crazy what was going on at times. For example, let me just give you an example. In front of our, where the mission was, there was a road that had a speed bump. Now, they had speed bumps, but they really didn't need the speed bumps because you had potholes everywhere as well. But the kids, well, I should say this, not very many people on the island had their own car. There were taxis all over the island. And these little taxis, many of them had, have you ever seen the airfoil on the back of a car? It's kind of a fake one that's supposed to make them look sporty. Some of you have. Well, the kids would wait till the car would slow down. These taxis would slow down at the speed bump, and they would run out from the sides, the bushes and wherever, and grab onto those airfoils on the back of the cars and ski with their sandals or bare feet on the road. You say, that's really foolish. Yes, yes, but they would do this. I know, my kids are like, that sounds like fun, Dad. Can we put a speed bump in front of our house? No, no. We would say, kids, don't play in the... Oh, yeah. No one was saying that to them. And you know how many kids died? Not just in the street, but just from drowning or from accidents or because no one was caring about those kids. A lot of kids died. Isn't that sad? You say, well, didn't someone care? You know, why do parents tell children, don't do this, do this? Because they care about them. And they ultimately care about them using their life, if you're a Christian, using your life to honor and glorify the Lord. That's what the ultimate goal of instruction is. It's not just, do this so you don't annoy me. And sometimes parents, that's how we operate, which is not the way to instruct. It's not just, stop doing this, stop doing this. It's do this. This is the way that you can glorify God. Don't do this, but do this, okay? But if we will give instruction and direction, our goal is that their life would be honoring to the Lord and productive and useful. When someone lives in a self-destructive way, self-indulging way, never says no or never had anyone instruct them to say no, will their life be shorter? Yeah. And in some cases, will the Lord take their life? Will there be natural effects that come as a result of that? Absolutely. You know, the children of Israel well understood that God was asking for them to have obedience, and that the enjoyment of the promised land was not just for the sake of enjoyment, but that in enjoying the promised land, they could do what? Glorify God to the nations. That in living in the place that God had prepared for them, what were they doing? They were showing everyone else God's blessing. Now, I think this is important for us to say at times. When we look at the Christian life, the fruitful Christian life is to be in comparison to the promised land living. Okay? It's not as though we think of the promised land as crossing over the River Jordan and that's heaven. We ought to think of living in the obedience to the Lord, living in the submission to His will as the place of exactly where God wants us to be. Just like the children of Israel, where God wanted them to be was in that land. God has a place and position for us in Christ. And in that position in Christ, guess what? It is productive and it is fruitful. And get this, it glorifies God. And out of your life glorifying God, that promise is not just of a lucrative future and no problems future. It is that in that it will go well with thee. And that going well is not just having good things, but even in difficulty, it goes well. Can a Christian have little and be happy? Yeah. Do your kids know that from you? Do your grandkids know that from you? I don't mean you have to sell everything, but is your happiness contingent upon whether you have things? You know, one of the things that this passage ought to remind us is that the way that we understand that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. What's the purpose of living long on the earth? The whole book of Ephesians points out this, that you would give glory to the Lord, that our lives are for the purpose of bringing Him glory. So what is the point of living long? So I can play with my toys longer? Well, you can enjoy what God's given, but don't forget why you're here. And the whole point of this promise, I believe, is that we have a longer opportunity to do what we're here for, which is bring glory to the Lord, bring glory to Him. When you don't do that, is there an effect? Do you remember the sons of Eli? Hophni and Phinehas, not to be confused with Finney, okay? Phinehas, Hophni, bad dudes, bad guys, rebels, horribly rebellious. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 2, verse 25, they knew that they were doing wrong, but they would not hearken unto the voice of their father. They wouldn't listen. They would not listen. They would do what they did, and the Bible says that they were killed. The Philistines slew them. Okay, why did they not live long? Because they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. Now, the knowledge that there is a promise with obedience should be an encouragement, not some looming threat. Oh, no, what's going to happen if I don't obey? Okay, kids, don't think, Pastor said if we don't obey. Okay, but you ought to recognize that there's an encouragement, that in obedience, there is an encouragement for you. God blesses obedience. I don't obey, so I will be rich and live long, but I recognize God's nature as a rewarding one. Have you noticed that of God, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him? Is there a rewarding facet to seeking after God? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we want our kids to see that. Sowing and reaping is another example in Scripture of recognizing that what one sows, one will reap. And the blessing of sowing and reaping is not always in the negative, as we oftentimes, well, you're going to reap what you sow, as though that's always bad. That's not what the Bible tells us in Galatians. It's not just in the bad. It's true of the bad. But if you sow to the flesh, you'll love the flesh, reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Good things that last. Hey, our kids need to know that. That in obedience, there is something to be expected and that God rewards that. Now, I would just tell you, obedience and honoring of parents are not a risky venture. well, I wonder if this is really going to work. No, it does. And it's the best way. It is. Obedience to parents is the best way to operate. Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you want to turn over there as we conclude, mentions just a number of things about this. And really, this promise is mentioned here of thy days being prolonged. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, to the children of Israel, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. I think that's always important. God was directing them about how they would operate in the land that they would possess, the enjoyment that he had provided for them. We likewise have been provided something in Christ, and there is a way for us to enjoy and operate in that, and that's the Spirit-filled life for us. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And in this passage, the first, and this may be, well, what Paul is saying is the first commandment with promise, is from Deuteronomy 6. That this matter of the family passing on the idea of obedience will have long-lasting effects. And I think that's important for us to be in our minds sharing with our kids, that their obedience today has impacts for the future, doesn't it? It's not a little thing, which is also important for us as parents. When there is disobedience unpunished, disobedience that's uncorrected, disobedience that's just, well, it's not that big a deal, will that also have long-lasting impacts? Now, ask God for grace to do right by the correcting of that. And we'll look at that more with verse number 4 of Ephesians 6. Because there is a right way to correct, and there is a wrong way to correct. And I really believe that that is something we've got to know well. Because it's not just, hey, you better obey, kid. Or, and we don't understand well what God's plan is for the teaching of that. Which is, that word teaching is really important. Admonition. Instruction goes along with this matter of discipline. And so we'll look at that next time. But may the Lord help us to encourage our children that obedience is something that pleases him, and that's why it's my motive. I'm doing this because it pleases him. And as well, God promises reward. He promises benefit from it, and we can be encouraged.